Hola and welcome back to Boss Memos. So it's been a minute. I did miss an episode back there if you were paying attention, but there's been a lot of changes in my life. First of all, I turned 25. I moved apartments and I just came back from South Carolina we were down there for a wedding. So all that happened since the last episode and it was a lot. Basically is what I'm trying to say. So forgive me for missing an episode. I really did miss doing the podcast. And I'm coming to you from my kitchen counter where I am currently in the middle of painting a 36 by 24 inch painting for my new apartment walls. And so this is going to be a little bit more of a paint with me story time. After I'm done with this intro, if you're watching the YouTube video, I'm going to be painting and podcasting. So it's going to be a lot of the back of my head, but hopefully you'll be able to see some of my process here. I'm painting the Betty Dangers, or formerly Betty Danger, Ferris wheel. I heard now it's going to be like a gentrified taco place. Nevertheless, I'm excited to try the tacos. So, yeah. Without further ado, get your drink, get your snack, and let's get into it. Basically, I decided to paint this Ferris wheel because before I had moved to Minneapolis, I would mostly be driving to Minneapolis to visit my boyfriend, who I'm still with, Grant. Love him. This was right by his former place, and it's right by my new place. And on the sign, they've since changed it, but they had a little marquee sign. It said, "I know that something good is going to happen." And honestly, like when I was in the trenches of applying to my jobs after graduation and trying to get a job in the cities or a job that would let me move to the cities, I honestly did not care. I did care, but I just really needed to get out of my parents' house. And I love them. We have a great relationship, but that's just a tough situation to be in. I would drive past that sign after I had driven for like 50 minutes to get up to the cities. And sometimes I would like almost tear up because it was that pivotal to like my thinking where I was like, I know something good is going to happen. I know I'm going to get this job. Something's going to come through for me. And when I moved into this apartment, there was this big blank piece of wall that none of my artwork fit in. And I was thinking, like, I got this canvas at Joann's before they went bankrupt for like 25% off. And I was like, what am I going to paint on this? This is ginormous. Any project is literally going to take forever. And this is taking forever, but it's fine because I figured out what I wanted. I wanted to paint that sign that had given me a sign that something good is going to happen. And I mean, I don't know how many drives I did past that sign before I did finally land the job that got me up to the cities where I could get my own apartment. But it was really meaningful to just have a positive message to drive by. I couldn't think of a better picture that I would want in my apartment. So if this doesn't work out, I'll just print the picture. But at this point, I've already invested like, I don't know, I think like 4 hours so far on this painting. So hopefully I can get it in a good stage where I want it up on my wall. But I promised some stories, some tea. So we'll get into it. The first part with like the move itself, oh my god, it was a beast. I was way overly confident. Honestly, I'm way overly confident with most things I do in my life. But with this in particular, I really was like, oh yeah, I'm just going to get everything in there. I'm going to be totally moved in within a week and it's not going to be a problem. I'm just going to get through it. It's going to be tough for a second, but then I'll be totally moved in and it'll have been worth it. Well, I would say it's been like 3 weeks since I moved in and I just now feel like I have some semblance of what I want the apartment to feel like. I mean, I think I learned a lot about myself in doing that because, first of all, I learned a lot about myself in this move process because I did not realize how much you could doom scroll on furniture websites. Like, I am just such a bad online shopper. I tend to be like, see something I like, and then I think, oh, but I'm sure I can get that for a better price somewhere else, or maybe there's a sale going on, a discount code I don't know about. Like, I just never want to settle for the things I find online. Like, there's just too many options. And so that just causes me to kind of go into a shopping spiral. And eventually, I just have to give myself some kind of restriction. Like, you can only shop at this store. Or, like, I just have to give myself so many rules about online shopping, or else I will be doom scrolling it. And, like, in the weeks leading up to the move, I was doom scrolling for bar stools because my last apartment didn't have room for them. This apartment, I had to sacrifice my couch, but in return, I got the counter space for bar stools. And so I was shopping, shopping, shopping. And then, like you find the perfect chair. I found like these really cute Sherpa round bar stools at Target. And then all the reviews were like, oh my God, do not buy this chair. And I'm like, great. So I found the perfect bar stool, except they are painful. So didn't go with those. Then I'm shopping, shopping, shopping. And what do you know? Like the day of the move, I am talking to two different people on Facebook Marketplace, get caught up in a meeting, and then completely miss my opportunity to pick up these like $60 bar stools. And so I'm like, well, I will try to message them again, but like their confidence in me is probably not very high, so they probably moved on. And I did end up having to go with this other lady, but I got these beautiful, very modern white leather or pleather bar stools, and I love them. And it's really changed the way I like do dinner because I used to have to do dinner on my couch, which sucked. Like, I had a lift top coffee table, and that helped a lot, but it just never felt like sitting down for a meal. And in the new place, like, I really appreciate having the bar stools, even if I don't have a couch. Plus, I got like an outdoor patio area. I'm on the pool deck, which it's been really great for the all year round hot tub access. So yeah, like I lost some, but gained a lot in terms of like amenities and a different layout and the opportunity to paint this painting. So yeah, that was like, that's my story on doom scrolling for apartment furniture. And I did it again with like looking for a headboard. And eventually, like a few days ago, I just had to tell myself, look, you're just going to get this one. And if you don't like it, you can get a new one. Like, it's not this, like, the furniture is never going to be your, like, your furniture for life, right? I don't know why I struggle so much with interior decorating, but I do. It's been an interesting move, to say the least, I guess. Bobby's doing great. She is such a trooper, super adaptable, doesn't care at all. Like, yes, night one, when I dropped her off, like 5 minutes after I dropped her off, she tried to run out of the apartment. But I think that was mostly because she was just like, what the fuck are you leaving me? Like, are you gonna leave me in this apartment? Like, this is not where I wanna be. But once she realized, like, no, I'm moving with her, then she really calmed down. And yeah, she's been loving her little sunspots. We didn't really get those, like, patches of sunlight in the old apartment. So I think she's really appreciated that. Yeah, I think she's still, like, discovering, like, her favorite napping spots here. And, like, I feel like she's very vocal, but also, I had to like leave her with my mom while I was going on the South Carolina trip. So I think that's part of it too. She's just like, been through a lot, just like me, the past couple weeks. So I think we're looking forward to some quiet time and just like being able to enjoy the apartment because, I mean, just like a week after I moved in, basically, it was time to go on the trip to South Carolina. So there's never a good time to move. That was the other thing I learned. It's just that couldn't be more true. There's just never a good time to move. So you might as well just do it and get it done with. Or else you're just going to be like putting it off and off and off. Okay, so that's kind of what I want to say on the move. But the other thing that happened, like I said, I turned 25. So I hosted my friends for a movie night. At the new apartment building, we have a movie theater as one of our amenities, which has been awesome because I've already used it. And it was tough to get set up at first, but now that I'm set up, I'll be able to do it really fast the next time I want to host a movie night. And for a while, I was like, okay, we're definitely going to watch a rom-com. It's going to be a total girls' night. Just like pick out which, like a favorite 90s rom-com and get cozy. And I bought wine and cupcakes. So I really was thinking rom-com movie night. And then just on a whim, I Googled movies about being 25. I was like, what are the chances that, you know, like there's like 16 Candles. There's a million movies about turning 21, I'm sure. And I was just like, maybe it's just a one-off scene on a movie, even just a 25th birthday. And then it moves on from that. Like, that would have been enough for me. But the movie we ended up watching was In Time, starring Justin Timberlake and Amanda Seyfried. 2011 masterpiece about, I'm sure you've seen clips of it. It's where they have, like, time is the currency. And they have like a set amount of time on their wrist and you get paid in time and you're also spending time just by living. So basically the premise is like if you're poor, you're just not going to live very long because you don't make enough time. And then the rich are almost immortal because they have more time than they can spend. And the reason this has anything to do with turning 25 is because in the movie, you stop aging at 25, which creates some drama where, like, the mom is just as sexy as Justin Timberlake. And, like, at one point, there's, like, three generations of women standing next to each other, and they all look 25. So definitely some, like, they didn't really get into that. But there are some critiques on, like, beauty standards baked into it. Amanda Seyfried, bless her heart, they put her in this, like, terrible wig. Or I don't know. Like, it just did not fit her face, the outfit and the wig that they gave her. So she always looked a little too harsh in the movie, a little bit too Tumblr aesthetic. But also that's a product of making a movie in 2011, I guess. And I wanted to just talk a little bit about the movie itself. One of my new favorite YouTubers is Mike's Mike. And he reviews/breaks down like some of your favorite movies from childhood. Or like, I mean, he did one on Hoodwinked. He did one on Monsters vs. Aliens. So like, I don't know. He has a great channel. You should definitely check him out if you're into that kind of content. Or even if you're not, because he's just so funny. But I'll do a little Mike's Mike moment of my own with this movie In Time. Because I don't know. Like, I watched it pretty much when it came out, like as a kid. I was obsessed with this movie in 2011. Not because Justin Timberlake was shirtless, although that definitely was a perk. He was shirtless at least 5 times throughout the course of the film. But I think it really, like, kind of had some interesting points for, like, the current political climate, which I did not expect it to get that deep into it because I don't remember this movie being received particularly well. I like it is very cheesy and kind of boring in some places and a lot of plot holes, blah, yada yada. Like, I'm not saying this is like the Matrix level of film, but there's always something with like a sci-fi premise where it hits a little too close to home. And for me, the scene, and I think it's been clipped on Instagram and TikTok, whatever, like you can Google it and find it. But Justin Timberlake is going to work and he's getting a coffee before work and he's like, four minutes for a coffee. Yesterday it was three. And I mean, it is a funny joke about inflation, but at the same time, I was like, wait a second, 4 minutes for a coffee, that might be too low. And I did the math, and 4 minutes, well, 1 minute at $20 an hour is like 33 cents. And I really hope I didn't get my math wrong here, but so 4 minutes for a cup of coffee is like less than $2. And at Caribou, the co like a black coffee right now is literally like over $2. So, hate to break it to you, Justin, but you're actually getting a steal with $4 for a cup of coffee. And the movie takes place in 2169. I have no idea why they chose that because it was 2011. If anything, I would have thought they would have chose like 2111 just to keep it simple. Or I don't know, like 50 years in the future, something. But they chose 2169. Yeah, they have it better in 2169 than we do now. So I was like, does that mean this movie is actually kind of optimistic? Like, I want to live in the world of end time because they're getting their lattes for way less than me. But no, you don't want to live in this movie because the premise like that the rich people kept throwing around was like, oh, this is just Darwinian capitalism. It's survival of the fittest. If you can't afford to live, then you shouldn't, which is so fucked. Like, obviously the rich people in this movie are evil, like as they usually are. But I just thought that was interesting, that term, Darwinian capitalism, because we really are living in it right now. Especially with the healthcare industry. Like, if you do not have insurance, you will die sooner. Like, there's just all these things that if you're poor, it increases your risks. And so, as much as it's like supposed to be a fictional, like a science fiction movie, like I said, these science fiction movies end up holding a lot of truth to them. But I don't think, like, beyond that, there were many surprises. There was like this gang in the movie that kept coming back, and they had these iconic 2011 fedoras. Like, I'm pretty sure that was a trend back then, was like just fedoras. And so they were supposed to look cool, but they ended up looking really dorky, kind of like middle school boys. So I loved that. I loved the fashion, even though it was like really cringy. The poor girl, poor Amanda Seyfried, she was stuck in these like giant heels for the entire movie. And Homegirl, she was running because the thing is, in this society, to run kind of means that you're poor because you don't have time to walk, which is crazy. I like the rich literally just walk all the time because, first of all, you could still die of normal circumstances. You could still like get shot or like get hit by a bus. Like, all like normal things can still take you out. So the idea for the rich people is like, we have to be super careful so that we don't accidentally die, because as long as we don't accidentally kill ourselves, like, we will live forever. So the rich just walk everywhere very slowly, very carefully, with bodyguards usually. And So poor Amanda, like she starts out the film as a rich girlie, never ran a day in her life, and then all of a sudden she's on the run, literally with Justin Timberlake, and she is in these sky-high heels. But I also blame his mother because she, at one point she's borrowing his mother's clothes, and his mom also did not dress very practically for a supposedly poor person because she was also in giant heels. So I think that was just the influence of Tumblr on the film, which would be an interesting video essay for anybody that does that kind of content. The impact of Tumblr on 2011 films. Another funny part about my birthday was there were a couple like things that kind of screamed recession besides the 4 minutes for a cup of coffee line. Like, for example, birthday dinner. I'm not going to say the restaurant because I don't want to cause any undue hate. This is the tea portion of the podcast. But yeah, so my boyfriend took me out to a very nice restaurant for my birthday that I picked. And I never expect like a free dessert at any restaurant. Like, that's just super nice if they do that, but totally unnecessary. And they never hinted that they were going to give us a free dessert, so I wasn't really expecting one. Plus, our plates were massive at this restaurant, and we didn't even finish the food we ordered. So I really was not expecting to get a dessert, and I didn't really want a dessert. So they brought out the dessert menu, never hinting at a free one. And so we're like, no, we're not going to order expensive dessert here. We're just going to go home. And if we want dessert later, we'll get it. Except before we left, but after, I'm pretty sure after they brought out the check, the waiter brings over an empty plate with a candle stuck on it. And, and I just thought that was such a bizarre move because we didn't want dessert. So they were totally fine to not give us dessert. And then they do this move where they just bring out the empty plate. And to me, like, it was almost offensive because I didn't want dessert. And now you're bringing out this empty plate. Like, either it's giving recession, it's giving, like, watch your calories. Like, you didn't need a tiramisu. Like, good for you for not getting one. How about you just blow out an empty plate with a candle on it? And like, thank God I like kind of took it more as a joke. But it was really weird. And everyone I talked to had the same opinion. Like, that's fucking weird. So I don't know what they were thinking in the like kitchen when they set that up for me, because they literally melt the end of the candle to get it stuck onto the plate. So yeah, that was the weirdest thing that happened to me on my birthday. And like, it's just tough because you go to a restaurant and I just think expectations are really high right now because you're paying so much when you go out to eat that you really want to have a good experience. And then something like that can really ruin the night if you let it. Like, we didn't let it ruin the night, but it was super weird. Okay, so on to the wedding recap. So I have never been to South Carolina. It was my first time. The wedding was taking place in Charleston, and it was a beautiful city. I got a chance to do a walking tour with Grant's parents, and I love doing walking tours because you learn so much in a short amount of time and you get your steps in. And I mean, I learned about this color, Charleston green. Charleston green almost looks black because it is basically black. It's black paint mixed with a little bit of yellow so that in the sunlight, when the sun hits it, it kind of gives like this greenish hue. And you know, like a lot of off blacks I mean, it is an off black, but I just think like cheaply made blacks usually like look blue. So it's kind of like that where it just has a hue, a good undertone to it. And it's just softer on the eyes. It's not as harsh. So that was fun to just learn about the history of the city. Obviously, a lot of sad parts of the history take place there, pertaining to like the Civil War and slave trade. So there were some pretty serious parts of the walking tour. But you gotta learn it all, the good, the bad, the ugly. And yeah, our tour guide had a very pronounced southern accent, which was fun. So it really immersed me in the experience. But really enjoyed the tour. But I don't know if I need to go back to Charleston necessarily. It was so buggy at the wedding. The wedding was outdoors. It was a beautiful venue, like right on the water. But oh my God, I got eaten alive by the bugs. I came home after the trip with literally over 100 bug bites just on my arms because I was wearing a sleeveless dress. And hopefully, you can't see too many of them in this recording because I am just covered in bug bites, and that almost ruined it for me, honestly. So, if you go to Charleston, bring your bug spray. Holy shit. But what I did like about being there was spending time with Grant's family, like, got to know some people better, which is always nice. Like, you don't get a million opportunities to hang out with these people, and like they're spread out. Like, not everyone lives in even the same state. So it's just good to like get to know people better while you can and while it's like a happy time. So, really appreciated having some time to get to know people. And one of the girls, I mean, she didn't even really. It was just a really like side comment. Like, we were at the send-off brunch and she was drinking a Bloody Mary. And I was like, you know what? I never drink Bloody Marys, but that kind of looks good. And then after that, I just like got another one at a bar. Like, I would say I'm in a bit of a Bloody Mary era right now because I went out as soon as I got home, basically, and got all the ingredients to like make my own Bloody Marys at home. And I mean, it's really just an excuse to have a drink with a bunch of snacks in it. So that's right up my alley. Plus, it's like salty and briny, just like a dirty martini. So yeah, we'll just see where this Bloody Mary phase takes me. I kind of made a mistake and I got a chimichurri Bloody Mary mix. I should have just gotten the original. I went a little overboard. I was like, oh yeah, I'm a pro. I'm just gonna like get this random flavor of Bloody Mary mix. So I might have to go back to the liquor store and get just a normal Bloody Mary mix. But all is well. Trying new things. Oh, and then another thing about the wedding was, I mean, I always cry at weddings. Like, I love just like there's a lot of emotion in the air. I love love. I love watching like the daddy daughter dance. That one always gets me. I don't know how I'll hold it together at my own, but well, that's for future me to figure it out. And then this wedding, like very unconventional with like the wedding party, I guess, like the people coming up the aisle before the bride, because they had both their dogs in the wedding, which was very cute. Zeus and Rhea, I think. And they were very well behaved during the wedding. Like, I didn't. Two bridesmaids walked them up individually. And I, after they walked up the aisle, like, I did not notice the dogs. So I think they were very well behaved. And then they had like a couple normal couples go up the aisle. I think there were more bridesmaids than groomsmen, which is fine. But then the most unconventional part was instead of having a flower girl, instead of having beer boys, which I've heard about those, they had a booze baby. They had a baby in a wagon being pulled by the baby's father. And the father was handing out like little shooters as he went up the aisle with the baby. So kind of crazy way to start off the wedding. But, you know, I love a new tradition. I think most wedding traditions have some really creepy shit that's like the backstory on why they do it that way. And I think we let those slide way too easily. Like, we just keep doing them. And I mean, the whole idea of a wedding is like giving away the daughter as a form of property to a new man to take care of her and basically own her. So, I mean, I believe in marriage. I want to get married one day. I want to have a wedding. But I am, best believe, I will be reading into the history on these wedding traditions. Okay, I think I'm going to end it there. Sorry I was painting like the most boring part of this this Ferris wheel. But hopefully you got some zen out of it. I felt very zen while I was doing it. So thanks for listening to my gap session. I'll be back in 2 weeks with probably another one of my informed versus insanity series, because that one is really important to me to just spread the word on how we can stay in the loop without going crazy during this presidency, during this political time. So, but I don't like to do those every week because the podcast is multidimensional. So, yeah, I hope you enjoyed this little paint with me. And if you liked it, give it a like, follow on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or YouTube, and I'll see you in the next one. Bye.